He deserves our praise. He deserves it because He died for us, and He died for this world through Him that we could be saved. And so I just wanted to expound on that, and I'll get out of the way. I just felt His Spirit, but pray for us. I love you.
Well, I'm glad to be in church this morning. I just wanted to say, those that know me, I haven't only been here about 2 months, and I've been feeling homesick, and I've been having this running spirit that I had one time when I was in Republic, Missouri. And I called it the other day. I called Brother Smith up, and it was funny. Brother Michael said they were talking about me like 10 minutes before I called, and said they were worried about me because they knew that spirit was coming back. Because I've having so many problems with my daughter and things, and well, a while ago while we was praying, God took that spirit away. It's gone, and I wish Brother Smith was here to hear it. It is completely gone. I just want to praise Jesus because that spirit is completely gone, and I'm so glad to be here today. And I just wanted to let you know that I praise God for that.
The Lord. I'm thankful to be here this morning. Thankful that I've come somewhere where I can feel that same spirit that I feel at home. I feel at home today. I praise the Lord for that. You know, you don't feel that just anywhere. You know, you can go around different places, and there's all kinds of different spirits, but I know that I'm in a good place today. I know that I can feel the Spirit of God here. And just the songs this morning touched my heart. And I was driving here, this morning, and I appreciate the Bible study we had this morning. Lord was dealing with me on those last night. I was reading after we'd left Brother and Sister Brian's house. I went home, or went to Brother Curtis's, and the kids were kind of crazy, so I just kind of went in the room and opened the Bible. The Lord had been dealing with me a little bit, and those verses came to my mind, so I'm thankful how the Lord works. But on the way here, I was just thinking about how I got here, and most of you, I guess, my name is Carl Vanderbaum. I'm from Wichita, Kansas. And I'm from the Dutch family, the Holland family that came here in the early 50s. And that's where the Lord took me this morning. You know, we all come from all kinds of directions, you know. And it's the Lord that guides us and brings us here. He opens up doors, and it's up to us whether we walk through that door. And I'm thankful one day that I... that door was open and I walked through. And but I appreciate the Lord dealing with my family in the early 50s. There was a brother, I can't remember his name, I should remember it, but I don't, who was part of this body of people who the Lord dealt with to go to Holland. So I appreciate men that are open to what the Lord has in store for them, who are willing to give up everything to go somewhere else to bring the word to people who haven't heard it. So that's why I want to give honor to Brother Smith for all those. I appreciate where this church came from. Brother Tucker, Brother Liniger, Brother Weiniger. I appreciate Brother Weiniger, what he did here. Now Brother Smith's taken upon him. So I just appreciate the ministry here. You know, the inheritance that's been here. And so, as I was thinking this morning, that there was a brother that from this body that went to Holland, And my family were in the Pentecostal church there. And this brother came, and the door wasn't open to just anybody to come in there and minister to him. But the church that my family were in was open to hear what this brother had. And so that's how my family, my father, as a little kid, he was about 7-8 years old at that time, his eyes were opened up to this body of people. And over time, Brother Holly became a pastor there in Holland, and they kept close ties to the brethren here in America. And so it was their heart to come here to be a part of the body of Christ and to hear what the Lord was doing, to be a part of it. So it was a pretty tough deal to get over here, but there was quite a few a lot of my family were left there, and that would be difficult to do. But they wanted to be a part of the body of Christ. They wanted to hear what was going on, be a part of it. So they came here. There was, I don't know how many families, but there was quite a few Dutch families that moved here. And my family chose to come to Wichita, Kansas, to be under Brother Molno. And I was thinking how things could have been different. There are a lot of those that came here with the same goal, but for whatever circumstances aren't with us anymore today. So I am so thankful that the Lord dealt with my family to be a part of the Wichita church. That's where he wanted us to be. Not that anywhere else wasn't good enough, but that's where we were called to be, part of the Wichita church. And that's where my dad met my mother at the age of, he got here when he was 15 years old, and got married when he was 17, and they had three boys. I'm the youngest. I'm the spoiled brat of the group. and I'm still here. And I just thank the Lord. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9 years old, and the Lord called me to the ministry when I was about, 11 years old. I had an experience in a Oklahoma City meeting where they had to carry me out. There was I'm 38, so I guess you do the math. I don't remember what year that was, but it was early 80s. And there was a great move in that meeting. And there was a sister in our church who really needed a touch from the Lord at that meeting, and she was healed at that meeting also. But that's where I was called. And then later in life, as a teenage boy, I just was going around playing church. And I left the church. Really, I was sitting. You can sit there in these pews and leave church. And that's how I was. I sat there in these pews, acting like I was doing, being a part of the church. But as soon as I left the doors, I was doing my own thing. So I left the church when I was 19 years old. I quit coming. And the Lord dealt with me again. And, there were so many circumstances, and I could give you all kinds of stories where the Lord kept his hand upon me. And there's so many circumstances that car wrecks, drugs, all that I was around, that I shouldn't be here today. I should be dead. But the Lord had mercy on me. I'm thankful for his mercy, aren't you? I'm thankful for the Lord keeping his hand upon me. And the Lord began to deal with me through some dreams. And this was about the time after the Lord began dealing with me when my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And I was bitter about it, of course, but through her death, I was able to see the mercy of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And so it wasn't very long after that that the Lord began to, I had several dreams. And this one dream was, the Lord dealt with me, was a pretty powerful dream. I had my own home, I wasn't married at the time, and I had a friend that he went to church too and wasn't going to church any longer. And he was living with me, and I was in my room, and I had a dream. I was woken up by this dream, and in my dream, I kept having the scenario of all the old men that I remembered on the platform as a kid. Each scene, one was gone. Next scene, another one was gone. Next scene, another one gone. To the point where Brother Green was up there by himself. And I woke up, and I couldn't open my eyes because there was a presence in my room that was so strong, and I was too scared. You know, I didn't want to see what was there, but I could feel it, and the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I knew that I was supposed to be there. God called me to help Brother Green with the church, and I knew that it was time for me to change my life. Quit playing around, Carl, and change my life. So I got on the phone, and first of all, after that, I went out of my bedroom, and I went into the living room. And the young man that was living with me, like I said, he was part of this church also. And he was on his hands and knees crying. He was a drunk. I mean, that's all he did. He worked. He'd come home and drink a case of beer. That's all he did. That was his life. And when I went out to that living room, he was on his hands and knees. And he looked at me. He says, "Something happened to you in that room, didn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, Chris." I said, "It's time for me to turn my life around." And he was just crying, and the Holy Ghost was all over him. But, you know, he's still doing what he wants to do, what the flesh. Still feeding that flesh, Brother Durham. So, anyway, I made that call to Brother Green, and here I am. And I'm married, got three wonderful boys, wonderful wife that puts up with me. And I'm just thankful for the mercies of the Lord. And I was thinking, as Brother Durham, I just wanted to give you my testimony. You know, it's kind of, I like to know where people come from. Yeah. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. You know, how I'm here. You know, I was one of those that was born in this, but I chose to leave for whatever reason. I chose to leave, but I'm thankful for his mercy that I'm here today. And I thought about what Brother Durham was saying this morning at Bible study, and I also was in Philippians, and I'd like to go there real quick and just add a little bit to what he had to say. Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And you know, you wonder about that. You know, what do you mean die? How am I gaining Christ? Well, just like he was talking about this morning, you know, all these natural, you know, we're born with this nature of Adam. And we like to do what we want to do. I was one of those that just liked to have fun. And I did whatever it took to have fun. And that's where sin came in, you know. You can have fun and not sin, but I'd like to have fun and sin. That's where I was at. And that's, you know, so you can put this to you. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whatever you're doing that isn't glorifying God, he doesn't want you to do it anymore. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor." See, everything, I had a good job when I was out in the world. I worked for Cessna Aircraft, and I really think the Lord gave me that job. And, but everything that I made, I was making good money. I was 21 years old, and I was making $15, $16 an hour. And that was unheard of, you know, for a young punk, you know. And I was making good money, but I was not doing, and I ended up losing that job because of the flesh. I allowed the things of this world to get in the way of something that the Lord was trying to give me, to provide for a family later down in life, to help the church, you know, and I let the flesh get in the way of that. And, you know, Paul's talking about this. He was in a situation where he was ready to go on all the things that he'd gone through, he was ready to go on with Christ, but, you know, they needed him there. He was their example. And that's where it says here in the 23rd verse, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Yeah, I wish I had that problem. I wish I was in the situation where I'd say, you know, I'm ready to be with Christ. But that's where we're all trying to get. That's where we're trying to get, is to where, you know, we live life, things are going good for us, we got a good family, and we know that if we just keep our eyes focused on Him, if we keep our life right in that pattern with Christ, that we know what our eternal goal is. You know, I don't want to, it's a shame that the religious world lies to people. You know, I'm thankful for the truths that we have, you know. I don't want to go any farther than that. But also, if we go to, I'd like to read Matthew here real quick. Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." And that's what I was trying to do out in this world with, you name it, whatever I was doing. I was trying to find things that would give me peace. You know, you go do whatever you're doing, you come home at the middle of the night and you're miserable. It's all over. The fun's all over. But with the Lord, it's, you know, it just keeps going. It just keeps going. You know, your peace is always there with Him. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's so true. You know, it talks in Matthew, you know, it teaches us to expect hardships and to trust in God's unfailing care of His own. You know, that's what Matthew's talking about. And to keep our eyes fixed on our eternal goal. You know, life can throw you all these curves, and it can get in the way of your walk with the Lord if you're not careful. But those things that you're going through are to keep you closer to God. You know, it's life. It all these curveballs that come to you are to just get your mind away from the Lord. You know, He wants you to walk that straight and narrow path. That's why if you think about the ark, how it was built. You know, the sides were so high, and I don't want to get into all of the first, second, third parts of that, but the sides were so high because God did not want Noah and everybody that was on his family to see the destruction that was going on. He wanted them to be focused on Him. Don't let all that junk that's going on each side, all that destruction, don't let that get you all disrupted. Keep your eyes focused on Christ, on God. That's why the sides were built up. And too many times does life throw us things that we allow that junk to get in the way. Too many times, I'm such a negative person. I have to get up every morning and get myself geared up to have a good day, you know? And it shouldn't be that way. But that's just how I'm built. And so, it's real easy for me to get distracted with life and not realize the blessings. You know, we're living in a time where we are, this generation is just spoiled. You know, the computer isn't fast enough, you know? It's never fast enough, is it? Cell phones. All these, I call them so-called blessings, if you're not careful, will distract you from God. Amen. Even those blessings can distract you from God. So that's why in everything I do, I try to keep my mind focused on the Lord. You know, the Lord dealt with me on two verses this year. You know, I'm in the construction business, and things are tough. Everybody's having a tough time. Even if you're not in the construction business, it's tough. But that's where I'm at, and things have been pretty slow. And it's been, but it's been tough, and so it's easy to allow that to distract you. And so I can't remember if I was at home asleep, and I was woken up by, can you remember, by a verse, and I couldn't find the verse, and I was working at a guy's house who is somewhat associated with our church, but he's a very, he's a scriptorian. I mean, he's really into the Word every day. And this verse was in, but I couldn't find it for whatever reason, and I really didn't try real hard. I was hoping that I could just find it real quick in the Bible, but I wasn't able to. And I got to the house, and we started talking, you know, about things. And he says, well, he says, you know what I say? He says, I have this verse that I say on all these situations, and it's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So that's, we put that, I told my wife, and we kind of laugh about it sometimes. But that's in our home. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How true is that? Everything that you're going through is the will of God. Everything. Now, you can make wrong decisions, but somewhere in that mix, God's still in that situation, in every situation. And then the other one is that the Lord dealt with us on was, I think it's in 1 John 15:11. It says, because in these situations, give thanks, so also I want to have joy. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be full. Yeah, I was right. Imagine that. So I want to have the joy of the Lord in my heart. How important that is. You know, we are a light to this world. If how can anybody see Christ in me if I'm being negative or got a frown on my face all the time or whatever, or however you are, I got to have joy in my heart. That's, I want to have joy in my heart. Brother Pray, who all knows Brother Stephen Pray? And I'm related to him, by the way. And he tells me, he says, Carl, I'm just like you. I said, what are you talking about? You're so full of joy. He says, you think I'm like that all the time? Yeah. Well, even Brother Pray's got problems. But he's so joyful and so fun to be around with and loving and caring. And you would never think he had a problem in his life. That's where I'd like to be today. Where just, you know what, you're in control, Lord. Yeah. You know what you're doing. I'm just going to stay close to you, keep my eyes focused on you, and everything's going to be all right. Yeah, that's easier said than done, but that's where he wants us to be. You know, we're just along for the ride. You know, if we just stay out of the way and let him be in control, how things would be so much easier. We like to get a hold of that steering wheel. You know, we're not willing to be the co-pilot and allow him to guide us and lead us. You know, we like to get in control of the situation ourselves. But if we just be willing to give up, let him be in control, how much easier things would be. Isn't that true? That's true. I'll say it. It's true. So I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate what he's doing. You know, we can think about everything that's going on in the body, you know, and we could allow that to distract us, but we know it's all in control. Whatever's going on, he's in control of it. He's in control of it, and it's just getting us that much closer to him. So I appreciate the Lord in being here. Let's go to Galatians 2 real quick. I'd like to read this. That's not it. Yes, Galatians 2:20, sorry. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, how many here can say they're crucified with Christ? It says, pick up your cross daily. That's what I'm doing. Picking up my cross every day. Not just on a daily basis, but every second. I got to pick up my cross. You know? It's a difficult time to live. You know? I couldn't imagine not having Christ on my side. I couldn't imagine living the way things are today and not being able to call on the Lord, who's able to meet every situation, and he does it too. We took up an offering for, I can't even remember what it was. It was something pretty important, or we wouldn't have took up an offering. And I really didn't have the money. And I gave. And yeah, I really didn't know what was going to happen, you know. And that next week, I got two jobs that was, I don't know how many times bigger than what I gave. You know, but that's how the Lord works. If we would just keep being faithful to him, he'll be faithful to us. He'll provide one way or another. You know, I don't know how many times that I've heard of people giving their very last dime, and I couldn't even imagine this, and they'll get $1,000, thousands of dollar check in the mail for whatever reason. I mean, that sounds crazy to me, but how many times has it happened? We've heard it happen. There was a lady in our church that she was so broke she couldn't get toothpaste. And she says, Lord, what am I going to do? I got to have toothpaste. She's got two kids, you know. Got to have toothpaste. She went out to the mail, and there was a packet of toothpaste, a free sample of toothpaste. You know? I mean, that's just how the Lord works. You can say, oh, that's just coincidence. You know, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that in every situation, the Lord takes control. If we allow him to take on those reins and just work it out, you know, he'll make a way for us. So I'm thankful to be here. I just appreciate the Lord, what he's doing, being a part of it. I thank you so much for what you're doing here and to, you know, and staying in it, you know. Staying in it. I appreciate the sacrifice that this church took upon you a couple of months ago at this minister's meeting. I mean, I couldn't imagine not preparing. You know, we've been preparing for our meeting for 2 years now. Now, I couldn't imagine having, what, a couple months? 1 month to prepare for what you had to do. Thank you so much, and the Lord will bless your sacrifice. I appreciate you, and thank you so much. There's not another song. I feel like singing a song. Is that all right?
Well, I'm thankful to be here and love the Lord this morning, and thankful for the work in Little Rock, and thankful for Brother and Sister Smith. It always takes the sister to help the brother. I'm thankful for their example in the body of Christ, and so thankful I got to see my brother and my sister-in-law and their kids, and our kids got to spend a little time together. You know, cousins are special, but it's also special to be in the house of the Lord with your brothers and sisters and mingle our spirits together. And I thank the Lord this morning for all his blessings, and it has been a trial, and the Lord is so good. He's there every step of the way. And I told another sister, a young sister, a teenage struggling sister, and I said, you know what I love about Jesus? He's always there. He's so consistent. You're just calling his name, and he's right there. Whether you're 2 or 3, whenever you start calling on Jesus, till you're an elderly person serving the Lord, he's always there. He's always consistent, and I love that about Jesus. I'm just so thankful to be here, and I want the Lord to bless you all, and thanks for having us.
Once I went walking down a long, lonely road. I thought I had no one who would shed my heavy load. And then my mind went soaring back to a place I'd never been. That I was standing on the foot of my King. There were 3 lonely crosses on the hillside that day. And as I looked at my Savior, I cried, Lord, take me. Yeah. I went walking down a long, lonely road. I thought I had no one who could shed my heavy load. And then my mind went soaring back to a place I'd never been. And I realized that I was standing on the foot of my tree. There were three lonely crosses on the hillside that day. And as I looked at my Savior, I cried, Lord, take me away. There was blood flowing down and thorns pierced his head. But he from Father forgive him, and then my Savior was dead. As I stood there in silence, thinking, Lord, how could this be? That your beloved Son, he gave his life just for me. And then I heard a voice whisper, child, lift up your hands, for the one that you see hanging there, well, Jesus, he's not dead, he's alive, he's alive. No death could not hold him, he's alive, he's alive. Oh, the stone, it was rolled away. Satan thought he'd won the battle when Jesus died on that tree. Oh, but my Jesus came back from the grave, and he won the victory. He's alive, he's alive. No death could not hold him. He's alive, he's alive. Oh, the stone, it was rolled away. Satan thought he'd won the battle when Jesus died on that tree. Oh, but my Jesus came back from the grave, and he won the victory.
I really appreciate service this morning and this afternoon, and appreciate all of our visitors, and some of them we hadn't seen for years, and some of them we're just making new friends with. Hope to get better acquainted with them. But I really appreciate Bud and Sister Vanderbaum have some of God's ministry come this way and bless us and help us. And we miss Brother Smith, but God sent us along some good help today, didn't he? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. Brother Oates, could you see if it's ready downstairs? And we want to give him time to go down there and find out if the food's ready. And we thank you for the generous offering that we had today. And we want to, why don't we stand, huh? All right. Did y'all hear that? Taking up an offering for Brother Smith's birthday. So if you'd like to participate, just get an envelope and give it to one of the ushers. And it's good to see Brother Gaylor slip in. Amen. Aren't we glad to see him? Hallelujah. Been on the road, and they're trying to get settled in here. So let's keep praying that God would help them get established. And appreciate the way God's been touching their family since they've moved here. Why don't we stand and let's just thank the Lord. Amen. for this wonderful day. Aren't you thankful for that wonderful spirit we had this morning, that good, rich spirit? And I'm glad that I asked Brother Shane, he came up for prayer, and I said, just give it to God. And I said, did you give that running spirit to God? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, don't ask for it back. Don't be an Indian giver. Just give it to God and let him take care of it. What he does with it is his problem, but he don't want you to have it. So that's all part of becoming established, isn't it? Getting rid of that running spirit, Brother Shane. Thank God. But we do want you to have the running spirit when the spirit hits you. We want you to run, but not from God. We want you to run toward him. So hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. God, we ask you, Lord, to watch over us, Lord, between the services, and to go with us, Lord, and to cover our lives. Bless this food. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. We want our visitors. We want the ministry and the visitors to go ahead. And our elderly saints, we'd like them to make their way downstairs.